It's time for Valley Edition, a weekly panel discussion on current issues in the Mat-Su Valley, moderated by Mike Malevsky.
Well, folks, once again, it's time for another edition of Valley Edition. And this one is special because there's snow on the ground. After many days wondering whether this would be one of those winters, the snow has returned. And along with the snow returning into the studio are two panelists. We have Mark Kelsey. Welcome, Mark.
Good morning, Mike.
And Terry Snyder. Welcome, Terry.
It is beautiful outside.
And Zaz Hollander may call in a bit later, but right now we will persist without her. This is coming up toward being one of the last weeks of 2017. And the events happening far distant from our valley, in particular Washington, D.C., continue to possibly portend ripples that will come this way. I'm talking about the tax legislation that's being considered and being discussed and will be likely voted upon next week, with hints here that perhaps this senator or that senator may have still some concerns. We'll know better next week. But whatever happens there, it appears that that will affect all of us who are involved in paying federal taxes one way or the other. And that's one thing that's being discussed out there. The second large issue involving Congress, but also spreading throughout the country, the issues associated with harassment, and they have reached even to Alaska. And we've had recently one representative in the House, the Alaska State House, accused by at least one person, with perhaps a second person there, of being inappropriate. And that discussion is ongoing. The Alaska House leadership has been discussing it. I'm just wondering, Terry, do you have any comment to make about that? Because, go for it.
Well, I think that it's pretty clear they're going to have to do something. It's just a question of what they're going to do. There is some precedence from it in history, but today's today, and that was yesterday. And I think that the public, especially what has happened on the national level, is keenly interested in making sure there's justice for these women and that have been coming forth, and that people are, properly, punished for it. I guess saying that, too, that it always stays in the back of my mind, there does need to be a process. It's going to be interesting to see how they handle it, considering it's an election year. So there's expectations on the side of the voters that, certainly from women I've talked to, that they do something, but also wanting to make sure that there's not a rush to judgment and there's actual facts behind it. Maybe Mark has something to chime in on there.
No, I think that's an excellent summation. I think if we bring it up closer to home, it seems inevitable that this first case in the legislature, could be the first domino. I think anyone who spent any amount of time in Juneau has at least heard stories that end with what happens in Juneau stays in Juneau. There's definitely been that, outside of work culture down there for years. Perhaps not as rollicking as it was back in the late 70s and early 80s, but there's still, you hear stories all the time. So it's not unreasonable, in my opinion, to think that we will hear more stories soon about that.
Well, and I think also in view of the fact we are on an election year, that I wouldn't be surprised if some of that doesn't come up during elections of potential candidates, either incumbents or people that are challenging them. So I don't expect this topic's going away anytime soon.
Is it of note that the individual who's being accused, Representative Westlake, is from a less populated area, a different part of Alaska, perhaps? And this is something I think that's been raised with a number of other people. That he may have inadvertently extended a behavior which was not overtly intended to be harassment, and he was still adjusting as a new person to Juno. I throw this out because it seems to me that in my experience, when I move from one place to another, and I'm not in any way raising my hand and saying I'm justifying harassment. I'm just saying the way we relate to people, if you're in a smaller community, if you're in a community where you know people, if you're in the big city, if you're on the East Coast and West Coast, wherever, that requires an adjustment. And I don't know how, if this magnified something which could still be determined to be inappropriate, but magnified it. So I just throw that out. Terry?
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, I hear what you're saying, but I also know that there was plenty of reports of it not being an isolated incident. And if leadership did not take somebody aside right away with some firm action, knowing that was going on, and I think, frankly, I'm with Mark, that's been the culture down there, that what stays in Juneau goes on in Juneau. So there wasn't really an appetite to head anything off at the you know, pass there if he was actually out of line. And it sounds like, if, you know, as we know, all the facts have not come out, but if all indications are true of what's been said, these were numerous occasions. And for someone not to have stepped up right away, particularly in his party, to say, that's not okay, not okay here, not okay anywhere, then, you know, shame on somebody. And they should be held accountable too, I think.
Okay. All right. So we have had just a few meetings. I want to point to the city of Palmer and point out that the city has successfully, in kind of a low-key fashion, many meetings, a lot of hard work, but the budget has been passed. And at least at this point, after a conversation post-meeting with the city manager, we come away saying things are pretty much as they have been, taking care of business, the basic business, and not anything that appeared to be significant in terms of a change in the economy of Palmer. And, of course, we have had the benefit of a very large store, Fred Meyer's, arriving. We've had the continuing benefit of an Alaska State Fair, which has, at least in terms of the dollars that have been spent and income derived therefrom, remained consistent. And we also have the potential coming up, it is rumored, of a further use of the old Fred Meyer store. Should that come into play and it be a retail establishment, that would only offer an addition to the city's coffers without costing very much in terms of requiring any expenditure by the city. We also have in the city of Palmer another large building, a hotel, that has been sort of semi-vacant over time. And there have been some talk about that becoming a residential facility, an assisted living facility of one sort or another, all potentially affecting Palmer. So when we look at the economy, at least of the city of Palmer, seems to be doing okay. We've heard, I'm not sure anything that is doom and gloom over in Wasilla. So in this particular economy, state economy, the valley seems to be coming along fairly well. Terry, any comment?
Well, you know, at the end of the day, we still get a lot of our money from the state government. We get it for schools, for troopers. There's all kinds of indicators. And I go in very skeptical about this budget year and that the legislature, again, will kick the ball down the road. I agree, Palmer is in a good position as not to overextend themselves in a lot of debt, which certainly helps everybody. And we know that in our own households get through these rough times. But I'm not sure we're out of the woods here yet. I'm just not one to really bet on woulda, coulda, shoulda. And I think that this council is pretty conservative. So I don't think when they did their budget, they were betting on those things too. I think they're nice things to have. And if the economy bounces back, and we saw evidence last week with Colony Christmas, people are still out doing things. But I'm hearing from a lot of merchants around that people are not buying so many gifts as they are necessities this year. So there could be some culture shifts there. And you know, we don't know what's going to happen with the tax proposal and who that's going to hit and who's going to have extra money and who's not is going to be strapped with extra expenses. So there's a lot of unknowns right now.
Mark,
does the city own the plot of land that the old Fred Meyer is on?
No.
No.
Are there any, you know, current proposals or inquiries?
Yes.
Anything concrete?
Yes.
What might that be?
We don't know exactly.
Yeah.
Okay. So what we're saying here basically is that there appear to be more than rumors, but the details will be revealed in the near future. They seem to, in other words, we've moved along beyond the just scant rumor stage, but what that's going to be and all the rest, because I think there are contending proposals. And of course, the city isn't involved in this except to say yes. Thank you very much for doing that, unless there's some kind of requirement in terms of planning and zoning. But if it's within the realm of what might be called a normal retail establishment occupying the building, that's pretty much an easy thing. It's more between the people who want to do this and Fred Meyer's. And so they haven't yet revealed all the detail, but it appears that perhaps, maybe not before Christmas, but shortly thereafter, there'll be another present for the city.
Well, that parking lot came in handy during Colony Christmas. It was packed with.
No doubt. Well, and I see that there's a Duluth Trading Company going to Anchorage. Right. Very often, the big chains from down south, when they come to Alaska, it's a simultaneous unfurling in Fairbanks, Anchorage, and the valley. So
could be.
Just throwing that out there.
Yeah. So let us then shift focus to two other entities that are just beginning their budget process, and in the next year will be waiting for the legislature to make their decision. And of course, I'm talking about the school district, the largest employer in the valley, dealing with hundreds of millions of dollars that they work with. And we also have the borough assembly still struggling in particular to find ways to both reduce expenses and gain further income. And there was a little discussion at a joint meeting on Tuesday, Terry, regarding potential taxes.
A few 6 months ago, it seems, but I'm not sure when, they had it in front of them an ordinance to pass or implement a sales tax within the borough, and it didn't find a lot of love from the public or really at the table. And some could be said for the fact that it wasn't ready for prime time. But what came out of that was the manager was told to appoint a task force to really look at it with representation from the community and the district, and to come up with some options for the assembly. So that's what they did. There was looked like a well-balanced committee of people that were brought together for four meetings to come up with some options for the assembly. And the chair of that committee, Robert Hall, who owns the fireworks stands out in Houston, gave a little bit of a presentation. And I encourage people to go to the borough website. It's on there. The video, the audio actually is on there, and the written memo that they brought outlining some options for the school district. One being what has been talked about before, and that is that the borough is operating under a revenue cap that was implemented, I think, in 2004 or 5, been there for quite some time. And for its time, it worked well, but now, with all this cost shifting from the state, it's not working well for many reasons for the borough, and one of which they can't do much about hiring their local contribution to the school district. And part of that is also some legislation from the state about the formula. So it's complicated, but they did come back with a couple of ideas for that, and also kind of a start here, go to step two if that doesn't work, and number three is, yes, maybe you do need a sales tax, but there needs to be a lot of public education on it, and it needs to offset property tax. So I would encourage people to go to the website to look at that. What's going to happen now, it sounds like, is there'll be a motion at the next meeting, which will be Tuesday, for the manager to come back with some scenarios of those suggestions for the assembly, and if all the stars align, they may adopt something like that, particularly regarding a change in the revenue cap, which they can do without voter approval, to change the formula that could be done before budget season, which would loosen up some of that money for the district. So we'll see what happens. It's sort of a stay tuned, but they made some good progress.
Well, was there any concern about, you know, taking another run at this so soon after the last one? And I get that it's a different approach, but
yeah,
there's going to be people who say it's the same thing.
And it, and they're always going to be those people that say that. And I think that's part of the onus is on, and I think this is part of the memo that says you need to educate the community and you need to have a very robust public process of getting out in the community and getting feedback for it. So I think that will be part of it. And yeah, there is concern, but at the same time, you know, there is really no way to do anything about funding until they do something. And I think everybody there was pretty much under the understanding that they don't expect much more from the state this year. And if they keep their, they don't, last year there was some, you know, talk that they'd even cut their base student allocation from the state would happen. They're hoping to maintain that. But yeah, it's going to take all hands on decks, but it's they have good communication going. I think they recognize the fact that it has to be an educational push on the part of the borough to let community members know how it works. Math is hard. It's going to be hard to understand the revenue cap. That's hard for people to understand. But I think putting it in place and keeping it in place may assure people that yes, there is some restraint on government. But at the other hand, changing it, because now we have marijuana revenues. Now we could raise our cigarette tax. That's always a good place to things. There could be an alcohol tax. There's other things that could happen, and they can change around and make so that revenue cap sort of supplements all of that. And you know, I think it would actually sell well to property owners that they get an offset on their property tax if there's a sales tax. I think that would bring some skeptics over. So we'll see what happens.
So you mentioned marijuana, and if I remember correctly, there was some news about the Marijuana Advisory Board.
Yeah, well, sunset. Well, it was always met with a sunset date on it when it was, when Mayor DeVilbiss, back in the day when it was created, when the borough was just starting to look into the legalization of marijuana, that it would sunset in June of this year. And apparently all the work they think is going to be done and needed by the board is done. And, you know, and an effort to keep costs down, they're going to dismiss the board now, and that will be on the agenda on Tuesday to decide. Someone may speak up and say, hey, we're not done with that, but at this point, it's on the agenda to be approved.
And future, you know, call for regulation or whatever?
Well, the assembly can always do that by ordinance. And, you know, there probably will be some tweaks to it with land zoning and that sort of thing, but they think the heavy lift on it has been done.
Okay. And we have had one new member on the borough assembly, Mr. Ted Leonard. Was he there?
He was. Yeah. Yes.
Any sense of his participation? He's a somewhat different personality than his predecessor.
He's very much different personality. He did ask a couple of questions, and it escapes me what they were, but they were well thought out questions. And I think that there was some comment from the assembly or the school board, saying they were glad that with his skills in accounting that he will be able to kind of hit the ground running with the budget and understand things a little clearly and hopefully less emotionally sometimes, but represent his part of the borough of Wasilla well. So we'll see what happens.
Okay. Now the other topic that feeds right in here, which has a national connection as well, of course, is are all of the changes that were not only being made previous to taking up tax legislation in Congress, but have been inserted into that legislation affecting health care. Big deal. And the possibility of the mandate being removed in that process. And, of course, right here locally, some very lengthy, intense focus on the big ticket item for the school district, $40 million involved in health insurance. And of course, a similarly large proportion of the assembly's budget that involves health insurance as well as individuals. Mm-hmm. So that continues to be a question. We note that at Friday night, the 15th, at midnight or 11:59 p.m., the end for the enrollment period, this next enrollment period, occurs. And there's been some discussion out there in both locally, looking at what's happened within the state as well across the country, that the people are not running away from the Affordable Care Act opportunities. They have actually continued for those people, especially who have individual insurance needs, have continued to sign up, and even with the uncertainty that rests into the future. Mm-hmm. Any comments or questions regarding the health insurance issue?
I don't know. It seems still to be too much of a work in progress. There's good, bad, you know, good for some, bad for others. How it ultimately shakes out.
Yeah, it's,
you know, it's a wait and see thing.
It totally is. And it is a concern with the health insurance. So, but I will say, I heard this morning that enrollment for Alaska, at least, which has the highest health care costs in the nation, is only 5,000 less than last year at this time. And that was last week's reporting. So they have some hope they may hit the numbers. But you're right, and all of that could change everything. And what worries me and keeps me awake at night mostly is how they're piling on the debt with these costs, these cuts to corporations, and that whole don't pay attention to the man behind the curtain, that these corporations are going to make millions and millions of dollars they're going to put back into the workforce, and there's absolutely no indication of that. And I worry more about that too, because they can afford their health insurance. The man on the street can't, and the seniors and the people that rely on Social Security and Medicare and Medicaid, which seemingly is the next target, as soon as they have to fill the hole they're created, that's what keeps me awake at night.
Okay.
Those are great thoughts. And we will absolutely, that will need to be confronted.
Mm-hmm. There were two pieces that appeared in the Anchorage Daily News recently. One was top of the page, front page, article by Charles Woolworth, which was essentially an interview with a retired orthopedic surgeon. And there were some startling numbers that are associated with that, given, as the surgeon reported, that having been in Juneau, he had made a lot of money, and he did that unapologetically. He provided service and so on. But then he reflected upon it and felt that was one of the reasons why, that, as you pointed out again today, that we have this very high cost of doing business. There was a letter to the editor by Robert Hall, who's an orthopedic surgeon, more recently in the Alaska, in the Anchorage Daily News, that had a lot of well-researched, referenced rebuttals, if you will, to that article, pointing out that maybe that was an outlier experience, that specialists, in particular orthopedic surgeons, were not making the large sum that was specified there, and went to detail about how that all worked, et cetera. And more importantly, and I thought this was hope for the future, if you will, a point to the power of the negotiated group agreements to have a lowering of costs. If you have a lot of people that are going to be using services, and he pointed to in that letter specific percentages of decline that were happening, that was being worked on, and
not fast enough.
But it was happening, and it led me to think was that a number of groups that are looking comprehensively at all of this outside of the legislature and hopefully within the legislature, maybe finally getting their arms around of something which has many different aspects. It may be specialist charges. It may be third-party administrators charging a large amount to administer health programs. It may be one thing or another. But we come on down and say, this is one of those areas which seems to respond to the larger the group, the lower the cost. More people you have that are sharing the insurance costs, typically, this I think holds up well. Last time I looked at the research on it and said, yeah, if you have more people involved in a health plan, that'll spread the costs more. And what we have had for a long time are groups, separate groups, et cetera. Maybe this is one of those times when we'll be moving toward, and I know that's happened in the legislature in the past, a look at ways in which you can have a large group. You can ask that question, what would happen if all Alaskans were able to have the option of being part of a large group insurance program that included 700,000 or 800,000 people? Would that lower costs and still allow for those things that people seem to like choice, et cetera?
Well, I think it's going to take more than that. I think that it's going to take a complete cultural shift on people being healthier and for doctors caring more about keeping people healthy than prescribing drugs and fighting symptoms. I mean, it's really going to take people to live healthier lives to really see any fundamental shift in the way we're doing business, because the model that we have is broken no matter how many people you put under it, because the more coverage there is, people get more procedures, and those procedures, you know, we're only 725,000 people in Alaska, and we're not exactly the wellest population. And so we bring other well communities down. So there's actually some self-reflection that has to take place, I think, in the way doctors and the way people take care of their health.
Yeah, and part of that cultural shift, too, is, you know, shifting the mindset and, you know, getting people to understand and embrace that, yeah, you're going to pay when you're young and healthy and you don't necessarily need the insurance, but you'll get it back at the end of your life. It's a cycle, and we are all truly all in this together. So that is a huge part of it, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Common Cause has done some pretty interesting things in Anchorage on healthcare, a series of them, and they're starting in January with actually not just the airing of the problem, but actually coming with some solutions that they've gathered up, and I'm going to be interested in seeing how that series goes and try to take part in that.
Okay, well, on those notes, we have come to the end of another edition of Valley Edition. And I want to thank Terry Snyder. Thank you, Terry, for coming in.
Happy to do it. Enjoy the holiday.
And I want to thank Mark Kelsey. Thank you, Mark.
My pleasure. Have a great weekend.
Right. And to all listeners, enjoy the snow.
You've been listening to Valley Edition, a weekly panel discussion on current issues in the Matsu Valley, moderated by Mike Malevsky. Valley Edition is a production of Radio Free Palmer, recorded at our studios in Palmer, Alaska. The views and opinions of hosts or guests do not necessarily represent those of Radio Free Palmer, this station, or its underwriters. If you have any comments or questions about this program, email manager@radiofreepalmer.org.